Welcome to the Something New Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing, the incredible Ms. Deborah Shillay Wilson. Yay! Go for it, Deborah.
Hi. Well, I'm really grateful to be here and excited to share what I have to share this evening. Let me shut off my phone so it doesn't interfere. Okay, so I'd like to start off by telling you a story. It was an unusually warm mid-September morning, kind of like today, when Sharon once again dragged herself out of bed and started preparing for her day. As usual, she stumbled to the bathroom, feeling the heat of her stressed-out body. And when she turned on the light, she was startled by the same old sad, tired, drawn face in her mirror. She knew she'd been resisting facing her, and so today she paused and looked into those deep blue eyes that she knew were hers and asked, "How did I get like this? And is it too late to change?" For the rest of the day, that question repeated itself in her head like one of those songs that gets stuck and just keeps replaying over and over. And finally, in desperation, she decided to take a deep breath, sit down, and really reflect honestly and courageously on her life. Sharon admitted she had felt a growing discontent over the last several years. Fighting to do more and more had only led to stress and overwhelm. Then guilt crept in because she couldn't seem to keep up with all the ongoing changes that she was having to deal with in her profession. And it seemed like no matter how strong her resolve to get more done on her to-do list, the more things piled up. Projects in varying degrees of incompletion were daily reminders reflecting her failure. She put exercising on hold when, you know, she had more time, and healthy eating was a distant memory. Fleeting thoughts of needing to spend more time with her husband and friends kept being hijacked by all the new requirements she had to do to keep her business going. She was beginning to feel burnout by the work that she had started and that she had loved. Her business had not delivered on the promise of meeting her financial goals and freeing her time so she had more time to do more fun things. She had gotten to be in a place of disappointment and confusion, wondering what went wrong when she thought she'd followed all the directions that people had told her, like the compliant good girl that she was. Now she had got to feeling like a raging bitch inside, trying to find someone or something to blame her life on. She realized she was on her way to becoming something she didn't want, and that was a worn out, angry, and bitter old woman. So instead of wallowing in that, she decided to use this as a wake-up call to alter her course. Now, 5 years later, she has a much better relationship with herself. She's reconnecting to her husband, and they're having a lot more fun together. And she's reaching out more to her friends, being honest with them, and asking for help. She has clarity about who she is, what she wants in her life, and is taking the baby steps to get her there. So now she sees a different woman in her mirror, one that is confident, brave, and who smiles a lot. How did she get there? She used the three pillars of self-care I will be sharing with you this evening. By now, some of you may have suspected that Sharon's story is really my story, and you are correct. 5 years ago, I realized I had driven myself into living a life of stress, physical depletion, and mental and emotional overwhelm. Now, this was not what I'd set out to do, but lack of clarity about who I was led to lack of being in self-alignment. And of course, as we all know, stress kind of keeps our minds confused and our thinking distorted, and it has an impact on our short-term memory. I mean, anyone can probably relate to being in a hurry to get somewhere and being stressed out about not wanting to be late and you can't find your car keys and they're in your hand. So that's kind of where I was. And I didn't want to face how disappointed I'd become with my life, so I hadn't been as self-honest with myself. Also, I didn't want others to see this defeated side of me, so I withheld letting them know about that. I had become the Lone Rangerette, trying to do everything on my own. because I didn't want anyone to find out that I wasn't this perfect person. So this sealed my fate into isolation, self-perpetuating negative beliefs, and of course, most of all, a lack of self-care. It's been through my work and research and soul searching that I began to put my puzzle pieces together. And it became clear to me that I was not alone. I have yet to meet a woman who has a self-care plan that she faithfully executes on a daily basis. This may be a bold thing to say, but I am now convinced that self-care is not selfish, like we've been indoctrinated to believe. Self-care is imperative for the health and well-being of women. Otherwise, we continue to experience overwhelm and overwork, which drives us to a loss of self-connection. And when women are lost to themselves in an overwhelm, they're not able to really give the best of who they are, and so everyone suffers. I found three common themes of overwhelm in the women that I work with. Number one, the belief that you're not enough. Number two, being pulled into so many directions with too many things to do, yet, you know, when you look at it, they are all important. So how do you deal with that? And of course, the third one is taking no time for self-care. These three themes are driven by lack of connection with your true self, lack of clarity about your values and what is really important to you, and lack of making deliberate choices about how you want to live your life. In struggling with these, I found the antidote for overwhelm and created the three pillars of self-care. I decided on using pillars deliberately because they're what gives us structure, strength, and support, and they endure during difficult times. When we're unclear and stressed, our thinking becomes confused and distorted, and we go into survival mode. We lose contact with our intuitive intelligence, and we get into struggling, which takes a toll on our health, as research is supporting. We become emotionally and physically depleted, which leads to many unhealthy outcomes. I didn't want that for myself, and now that I realize this, I don't want this for any woman. I'm not leaving the guys out, but my focus is on women. And some of the male men that I work with, they have actually shared with me that some of this is true for them as well. So anyway, now I'm on a mission to really help women see the necessity of self-care. So I'm going to get started with pillar number one, which I call self-alignment. And what do I mean by that? Self-alignment is when you're consciously clear about what is important to you. You know what your values are because you've sat down and you've identified them. And you are able to see that you're living consistently with them on a daily basis. And using your values becomes your new recipe for success and defining what that is. But too often women push aside their needs and wants because we're caring for others. And what we really need is a balance between your needs and wants and others' needs and wants. Otherwise, we get into overcare. So bringing these elements into balance is a challenge in our overwhelming and easily distracting world. Yet with the right kind of support, it is very doable. Why is self-alignment so important? Because without it, there's a strong likelihood that you're going to experience disconnection and burnout, if you haven't already. Women often get bogged down in their decision-making based on what others think they should do or what they've been told they should do or even what they think others think they should do. And of course, then there's the pressure from all of the multiple modes we have of media that are always telling us that we need to do this better or do that better, look this way or look that way. I mean, all you have to do is look at the checkout stand for the evidence of what I'm saying. I mean, how many ways do we need to get better? I don't see many articles on celebrating where you are now and then deciding what to go. It's like we're living from a deficit instead of living from a place of strength. So it's like women don't have permission to really honor where they are and their specific situation and circumstance, because every woman's life is unique. One size does not fit all. And yet it seems like we're trying to do that. So it's critical for women to take the time to really look at the facets of their lives and find out what really fits for them and their unique life and family. So what are some signs when a woman is out of self-alignment? Well, one thing is going through the motions of life. Another one is forgetting important things and just not acknowledging what you do well. When a woman is in self-alignment, she has clarity about what's really important to her. She's energized, motivated, and joyful in her daily life. And she has a clear picture of what works for her and what doesn't, and doesn't apologize for it. As I work with other women, I found that my Lone Rangerette syndrome is what I called it. It is a common story. And I've decided that it must just come from so many years of cultural brainwashing that it's in our female DNA. But as women give themselves permission to ask for support, often they find it's not only a relief, but it's also fun to have other people working with them and helping them along the way. And women begin to realize, too, that they're not the problem, nor is anyone else. Really, they begin to find that their unconscious, self-defeating, limiting beliefs are really what's been running their lives. And it's always fun for me to see the results when women begin to release some of those beliefs that don't serve them and create new, healthy ones that move them toward what they want. It's a very transformative part of this program. Once you begin to see with your own eyes and feel with your own heart, you're ready for pillar number two, which is self-honesty. Self-honesty allows you to begin to connect your vision with your life and make it practical. It's a part of awakening that leads to self-truth-telling. Women are so busy doing that sometimes we don't take time to pause and just check in with ourselves. We don't seem to take the time to assess if something's working for us or not. We just keep doing, hoping that it's going to work until we get done out. We don't feel like doing much anymore. And that's what has happened with most of the clients that I work with, is they just haven't taken a time to pause and to connect to what they really, you know, what they really think or feel, or even acknowledge all of the things that they've been through. So what challenges women is when you pause and you really take a look at all the good things you've done, your successes, your skills, your unique gifts that you offer the world, and proclaim them. Because we all have gifts and wisdom and courage that sometimes we don't appreciate and we don't embrace it. And I'd like to see women do more of that. Because it's such a powerful experience when you move from the seat of judgment about yourself to the seat of compassion. Because from that point of honesty, you can clearly see, you know, what's led to the experiences of overwhelm that you may be experiencing. And most of that was just not taking a stand for yourself. Standing in the fear of disapproval or abandonment, a lot of times women succumb to the status quo, and we're really diminished when we don't do that. The shallow and sad face of Sharon that was reflected in her mirror day after day is a good example of how lack of self-honesty can show up. So how do you know when you're not being self-honest? Saying yes when you really want to say no, but you do it with a smile. Struggles in the day-to-dayness of your life, but you don't let anybody know that you need any help, and you do it with a smile. Which actually leads to feeling depleted and taking it out everyone around you and not doing that with a smile. But when you're self-honest, you know and honor your limits, and you have guilt-free no's said with compassion. You own all your thoughts, feelings, and that includes your wisdom and your experience. Self-honesty is a process. Our culture doesn't seem to have much value for this pillar. But it's really important to ask yourself some questions, like what is the real value of being self-honest to yourself and to others? And what problems in your life could be solved by being self-honest? And again, what kind of person do you really want to be in your life? The more self-honest you are with yourself, then the more you're able to be honest with others. And that brings us to pillar number three, honest, heartful communication with others. What beliefs does a woman have to withhold her honest communication from others? Well, here's a few. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. It'll just cause trouble. And my favorite one is they don't listen to me anyway, so why bother? We're born to be in relationships, so that makes relationships a matter of survival. So the fear of rejection and abandonment is so huge that it becomes an obstacle to communicating honestly with others. But when we do that, it not only impacts our relationship with them, but it decreases our trust in ourselves. It just seems like our culture supports withholding honest communication and instead using manipulation and guilt to meet our needs. So it really takes courage and a willingness to be vulnerable to practice this pillar, because there are no guarantees when you're honest with others. Yet it is very empowering when you do face your fears and begin to say no to things that are not consistent with your new sense of clarity. Some people may be a bit surprised at first when women take this on and get to this pillar. But because when you make changes like this in your life, other people aren't going to know what to do about it, because they're used to you being the same old way. So it's kind of like you've been doing this dance with people in your life, and now you've decided to change the steps, and they don't know where the steps are, so it's going to take them a little while to get adjusted. Not everyone's going to be grateful for your honest communication, but for the most part, people are going to appreciate you being self-honest, and you may be surprised to find that maybe they're dealing with some of the same things with you and have been afraid to let you know. So since looking at what I've overcome in my life and owning my wisdom, my skills, and abilities, and now that I can trust myself, it's really made a difference in my life. And as I've shared this with my other clients, it's made a difference in theirs too. So here's what I'd like to do at this point, because I want all women to practice self-care. I don't want them to just hear these pillars tonight in the short time that we have. I want to help them develop them so that they actually work on their lives in a practical way. So one of the things that I offer tonight is an opportunity to do what I call a phone strategy session with me. It's a conversation that's designed to assist you in creating a breakthrough in an area in your life where you feel stuck. You'll have the opportunity to tap into my 30 years of experience and intuitive insights, and after the conversation, we'll have a better idea of the steps you need to take to get the results you want. So that's my offer, which I feel is a pretty good one. And for those interested in doing that, you can go to my website, www.alifeofloveandbalance.com, all one word, or you can call me at 903-365-2198. Self-care is about awakening to the value of who you are and what it is uniquely you that you bring into the world. Overwhelm and overwork are the obstacles that keep you from being and maintaining your best self. The pillars of self-care give you a roadmap for living a life of love and balance. You are precious, and in order to continue with other care and not overcare, you need to practice self-care. Thank you.